All right, today we're going to talk about idols. And I know what you're thinking. You're like, idols? We don't have idols now. That is old time stuff. That's Old Testament stuff. But it's not. Let's look into why. All right, today we are talking about commandment number one and commandment number two. And they are going to sound very similar. They're kind of like peanut butter and jelly. So commandment number one, let's look at Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of slavery. Let me redo that. Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. That's commandment number one. Commandment number two. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. So when I first read this, I was like, wait a minute, is that all one commandment or is that commandment one and commandment two? And they're so similar to each other. They just go right hand in hand. And the thing is that commandment number one is a little bit more negative and commandment number two is a little bit, no. Sorry. Commandment number one is a little bit more positive spin on it. Commandment number two is a little bit more negative. And commandment number one deals with who we worship. Commandment number two deals with how we worship. So it's really important that we get this. Like God's kind of saying, look, I'm basically repeating myself. I'm saying it in command. First of all, I'm putting it as commandment number one. Pay attention. Red light, red light. Then if you didn't get it the first time, red light, red light, red light. I'm saying it again. And here's the thing. We have all been made to worship something. Literally, God has like put this little ticker inside of us that has made us worship something. That's like how we were created because God wanted us to worship. It's like this instinctive drive to worship something higher than ourselves. And the problem is whether we know God or whether we don't, there's times that instead of running to Him, we're running to all these different things. Let's read Ephesians 2:1. It says, blah, 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 I don't have it. Okay, forget Ephesians 2:1. Just forget that one. No, it's fine. I don't need it. Okay. So back in ancient times or in the Old Testament, the things that people worshipped were more tangible items, right? So they were like humans, human statues and animal statues and half human, half animal statues. And now we still have idols today, but they are different. And they are money, sex, drugs. They can be all kinds of different things. But if you're watching this video, most likely for you, it is food, dieting, the obsession with your body, the obsession with your looks, obsession with shopping. There's all kinds of things that could be an idol to you. And a lot of you are saying, I'm not an idolater and I don't have a golden calf. I don't sacrifice animals in my backyard. I don't have statues of humans. And the thing is that idolatry is not just idol worship for something of a physical statue. So why is it a big deal to God? Let's read verse 5. It says, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. So what does the Bible tell us? Why? He literally tells us why. He says, here's commandment number one, here's commandment number two, and then why? He tells you why is this so important to him. So listen up. He says, I'm a jealous God. He doesn't like hide it or try to pretend it. It's kind of funny because my husband is very jealous. He just is. He's very jealous over me. He doesn't like guys like doing any kind of texting and stuff. But he loves it if I get the, because I'm not a jealous kind of wife, but if I get a little tiny bit jealousy, he loves it. He's like, ooh, what are you getting jealous? He actually likes me to be jealous. So let's.
You have a hair on that chest, just kind of run away.
Okay. So What God compares our relationship with Him to is like a marriage relationship. If you think about it, if you are giving your affection to someone else, it's literally like having an affair with another person. Like if my husband had an emotional affair with somebody, I would be really upset. That would really, really hurt me. But guess what? We are having an emotional affair with food. Why do they call it emotional eating, right? Because we're having an emotional affair. And when you think emotional affair, you need to think idolatry. Now, let me tell you why God does say that you bowing down to idols. I love this verse, Ezekiel 23:37. It says, they committed adultery with their idols. That's what you need to think of. Every time you eat food, when you're not physically hungry, what are you doing? You're having an adulterous affair on God. It's like, imagine how would you feel if your husband cheated on you or your boyfriend cheated on you? When you're running to food, when you're not truly hungry, you are breaking commandment number one and commandment number two. So there are so many Christians that they would never steal. They wouldn't cuss. They wouldn't lie. They just have all these things that they just won't do, but they have no problem making food an idol. I want to tell you a little story about when I was 17. When I was 17, I moved out of my mom's house. I have a great relationship with my mom now. I'll show you a quick picture of her. And she's gorgeous and we have a great relationship. But when I was 17, from the time I was 17 till the time I was 20, I actually moved out of the house and we had a tumultuous relationship. And I was on my own. I bought my own car. I had a part-time job, but I like expensive quality clothes. And so I really couldn't afford that anymore. My mom wasn't paying for it anymore. So me and my girlfriend that I lived with, who was 17 as well, we would go to Nordstrom's and we would take clothes and we would try on some. And then we would steal the clothes in the dressing rooms. And we did it for almost a year and didn't get caught. And then finally, after about a year later, I was just about to be 18. Thank goodness I was still 17 and I got caught. And I vowed at that point, I only had to do like 2 hours of community service. I got off really easy. God was so gracious to me. But at that point, I vowed that I would never steal anything again. And to my knowledge, to this date, I've never stolen anything from anyone. Even if I took your pen, I would probably call you and say, hey, I took your pen. Do you want it back? You know, that sort of thing. I'm very, very conscious that I would never steal anything. And so the same thing has to happen with you with overeating. You have to get to a point where you say, I'm never doing this again. It's not going to ever happen. Now I want to talk about why overeating doesn't bother you anymore. And let me explain why. So, for example, let's say somebody decides to have sex before they get married. The very first time that you do it, you're going to feel really guilty. The Holy Spirit is going to convict you. Like you're going to just feel like, oh my gosh, I feel so terrible. Why would I do that? The second time that you do it, you're going to feel bad. You're going to be like, oh man, why did I do that? I just shouldn't have done that. But then what happens is the third, fourth, fifth time after it happens, what happens is the Bible says that your conscience gets seared like a hot iron, meaning the more you continue to do sin, you don't even realize that you're doing it anymore. It's like your conscience gets seared. You don't know. Let me read you this verse. It's 1 Timothy 4:2. It says, whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. So what we need to get to the point of is that when we do overeat, our consciences are there. The Holy Spirit is talking to us. The Holy Spirit is saying, no more. We're not going to overeat. And we will feel the Holy Spirit talking to us anytime that we do. Sorry. That's okay. Should I just say that last line?
No, I'll probably just have a graphic up.
Okay. All right. So then I'm just going to end it.
Okay.
Um, So the next time that you overeat, hopefully it'll be never, but you're going to go to God. You're going to repent and ask him to never, ever do it again. And hopefully after you listen to this course a couple times, you will get to the point, just like me at Nordstrom's, that you will never, ever steal anything. You'll never, ever overeat ever again.